Well, welcome, brethren, to this very important high day, the Feast of Trumpets. I want to spend some time reviewing several meanings of this wonderful, wonderful day. This is such an important day for us. For someone who knows nothing about the Feast of Trumpets, what could be deduced from that name alone? Just think about it. It's such an unusual name. It's very familiar to us. But if someone said to you, with unfamiliar with it, I'm going to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, you know, what could they deduce from that? Well, probably maybe two obvious things, that it's a feast and somehow trumpets are involved. I'm not sure how you could get any much more out of that. But those two statements would be accurate. It definitely is a feast. Trumpets are involved. But there is so much more meaning to this day, so much more to be understood in Scripture. These two words do provide a summary of the meaning of this day. Trumpets are indeed blown as an alarm of war. We heard about that in the sermonette. Yet this feast also is a feast, meaning a gathering, meaning an appointment because of the announcement to the world that takes place on this day in the future. We'll look at that in some detail today. But first, let's take a brief look at these two words as a starting place in understanding the meaning of this day. I want to examine these two words, and then afterwards we'll examine some additional meanings of this feast. Go with me over to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. It says here, The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." That's something that we must always remember. This is God's feast. This is His day. Not something created by some man somewhere. This is God's feast. These are my feasts. Verse 4. "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times." The first word there is feast. Feast. Feast means to keep an appointment. The root word is a Hebrew word of meaning of moedim. Moedim meaning to keep an appointment. To keep an appointment. That is why it says in verse 4 that these are my feasts to be kept at their appointed time. This word moedim means appointed place, appointed time, appointed meeting, a set feast, an appointed sign or signal. One of the definitions gave this sentence. It says, a particular point of time related to other points of time with a focus that this time has a purpose designed by an authority. That this particular time has a purpose that was designed by an authority. And that authority is God the Father. He is the authority behind this day. We have a commanded appointment with God first and foremost. We need to seek Him first and foremost. Why? Deuteronomy 14:23, which we all already heard, that we may learn to fear the Lord eternal always. And again, that word fear means to reverence God, to have awe and respect for Him. That's why we keep this appointment. Continuing in verse 11, in Leviticus 23, it then lists seven festivals that are outlined as God's holy day plan. Verse 5 mentions the Passover. Verse 6, unleavened bread. Verse 9, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. Verse 23, the Feast of Trumpets, which we are celebrating today. Then verse 26, Atonement. Verse 33, Tabernacles. Verse 36, the Last Great Day, mentioning that we keep a holy day on that last great day as well. The Feast of Trumpets is in the middle of God's festivals. You can kind of think of it as a fulcrum feast, with three feasts before it and three feasts after it. The first three festivals, the first three feasts, Scripture, Feast of God, pictures God's interaction in the lives of mankind. His interaction in our lives. Passover, the days of unleavened bread, and Pentecost. Then comes trumpets. Trumpets is in the middle, which begins the fall festival, and then there are three after it: atonement, tabernacles, and the last great day. With this feast lying in the middle of God's holy day plan, it occupies a significant position, tremendous importance to the life of every single human being who has ever lived and who will ever live. This is a very important day. This is a feast day, a commanded assembly, an appointed meeting with God, because it announces God's direct involvement in the lives of all mankind, which at the end of God's holy plan will actually bring peace on earth. Peace on earth. However, before that time of peace, trumpets will be blown. The second meaning of this feast has to do with the trumpets. Trumpets means to sound an alarm. That's what the word trumpet means. It means to sound an alarm. In the Hebrew, it's teruah. Teruah. It means to shout, to alarm, to sound, to blow. It's a signal, a sound of tempest, to shout a blast of war, to alarm a war cry, a battle cry. That's what this day pictures. Trumpets in scriptures are also used as signals of important events, such as giving an alarm of war, heralding a coronation, and calling people to a meeting. On this day, the trumpets will alarm, and also they will be an announcement of ultimate peace that will come. This is a tremendous day. On this day, when that alarm blows, the hearts of men will fail. Go with me over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 19. This gives an idea of what will happen when that alarm sounds. It says, "Oh, my soul, I am pained in my heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is plundered. Suddenly my tents are plundered and my curtains in movement. How long will I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet?" Brother, when trumpets are blown at this time, it is a significant day. Jeremiah here talks about and amply describes the fear and anxiety that will be in the hearts of men when this day takes place. These two words, both feast and trumpets, the feast of trumpets means that we must keep an appointment. We must keep an appointment for that day when that alarm of war takes place. There are additional meanings in scriptures that I want to also cover. Number three meaning is this. The Feast of Trumpets means more than one trumpet will be blown. Scripture shows several distinct reasons for those trumpets being blown. It is the Feast of Trumpets with an S. Feast of Trumpets. Go with me over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Revelation chapter 8, all the way through Revelation chapter 11, provides incredible detail of the future events when these trumpets will blow. Here in Revelation chapter 8, in verse 1, it says, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." Verse 4. "And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Brethren, this will be a fearsome event. Particularly for those who do not understand what is about to take place. A fearsome event. There are several terrible plagues announced by seven trumpets because of humanity's sins. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 talks about the fact that vegetation will be struck. The second trumpet blows. Revelation 8, verse 8, the seas struck. Verse 10, the third trumpets, waters struck. Verse 12, the fourth trumpet, the heavens struck. Revelation 9, verse 1, the fifth trumpet, locusts from the bottomless pit. Revelation 9, verse 13, the sixth trumpet, the angels from the Euphrates. Revelation 11, verse 15, that seventh trumpet. Just imagine you sitting there looking at all of these events taking place. Vegetation, seas, waters, heavens, locusts, angels, and then that seventh trumpet blows. And it's not an attack that's taking place by Russia or any other nation on the face of this earth. These trumpets are blown. These things are happening by the mighty hand of God. This is a fearsome day, a fearsome event that will take place. Here in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, it states this. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. When that trumpet blasts and that message goes out, and everyone on earth hears that, it's a game changer. Several trumpets are blown as a proclamation of war. Not just one trumpet, several trumpets. Point number four, meaning. The fourth meaning. The Feast of Trumpets means the announcement of the return of Jesus Christ from heaven to this earth. When that trumpet blows, it is an announcement that Jesus Christ will return, is returning from heaven back to this earth. When the seventh trumpet sounds, the announcement of Jesus Christ, direct, personal, in-person involvement in the affairs of mankind will be made. Go with me over to Joel. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. This trumpet also means that there is a great announcement that will take place. Here in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountains. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, verse 2, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A fearsome day. Go with me over to Joel chapter 2, beginning there in verse 12. Joel 2, verse 12, it says, now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So to rend your hearts and not your garments, return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. God says that here's an announcement, Jesus Christ is returning. You better get your lives together. However, before we address the actual return, because this this fourth meaning is just the announcement. Jesus Christ will actually return. It's necessary to make clear where Jesus Christ is. Where is he right now? Where did he go to? And where is he returning from? Jesus Christ prophesied, he declared that he would come again. That's what he said. He said, I will come again. This day pictures that coming. Those trumpets announce that coming. Go with me over to John chapter 14, beginning in verse 2. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 2. This is a declaration. This is a proclamation. This is something that we all should absolutely know and believe with every fiber of our being. It says here in John chapter 14 in verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. Just think about that for a moment. Who is this that's saying, I will come again? That's Jesus Christ, the spokesman, the Word of God, the Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth. All things were made by Him. He will come again. The one who formed and shaped us by the will of the Father. The one who spoke the Ten Commandments to Moses. Guided the children of Israel and the patriarchs and the matriarchs through the wilderness of the Old Testament. The one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, exemplified the very law and love of God as a perfect example of a sinless life of obedience, submission, and love. He will come again. He will come again. That same Jesus who was wounded for our transgressions, that was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He will come again. This is a big day. That same Jesus who ultimately gave his life through crucifixion to qualify as our Savior, making possible the forgiveness of our sins and the forgiveness of the sins of mankind, will come again. It's for real. It's going to happen. That Jesus Christ, who was taken down from the stake, placed in the tomb by Joseph of Arimathea on a Wednesday at sunset, that same Jesus who remained lifeless in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, was resurrected on Saturday, the Sabbath at sunset, that same Jesus who ascended the throne to be accepted as a wave sheaf offering, returned to earth and appeared to many as proof of his resurrection, finally then to ascend to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. As our elder brother, as our intercessor, as our high priest, as our soon coming king, that same Jesus, that's the one through whom men might be saved, only through him. Not Buddha, not anyone else. Only through Christ shall all men be saved. That Jesus promised that he would return in the future and will return as proclaimed by this day. By this day. The Feast of Trumpets. He said, he will return. He said, I will come again. We need to have that deeply implanted in our hearts and our minds. This is the real McCoy. That Jesus will come again. And we are very special people to be able to understand that. That he has called us now out of this world to understand that. What an important day. Where is Jesus Christ now? There are multiple scriptures. But let's turn over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. It's important that we remember this as a part of the meaning of this day, because the world basically celebrates Jesus Christ still as a baby in a manger. Or they celebrate him as some type of emotional vision. Or something that they only have in their heart. It's so much more than that. Here in Acts chapter 2, verse 32, it says, Then Jesus, God, raised up, of whom we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out on this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. That is where Jesus Christ is. He is at the right hand of the Father. He will come again. That's the meaning of this day. It's also the meaning of this day. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's where he is today. There are a host of scriptures that confirm over and over and over and over again the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ. But the world somehow focuses on a baby in a manger, when a profound number of scriptures focuses on Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. Just want you to jot these down for later reference. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Where it says, the God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you murdered and hung on the tree. Him God has exalted to the right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. I'll just read these other verses that you can jot down, the chapters here. Romans 8, verse 34. Romans 8, 34. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Several in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Hebrews chapter 2, verse, excuse me, chapter 12, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22 says this, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. That's the Jesus that shall return. He is the one that shall return. If that leaves any doubt as to where Jesus Christ went after his ascension and where he is today, God allowed a man to see Jesus Christ at his right hand. If there's any doubt that that's where he is, we have recorded in Scripture a man who was allowed to see Jesus Christ at the Father's right hand. Go with me over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. Here it says, but he, speaking of Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. Understand, he saw God's glory. He didn't see God. He saw God's glory. But he says, and Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. What a powerful scripture. What a powerful witness as to where Jesus Christ is. It also shows by him standing that he was engaged in the life, in the circumstances, and in the situation that Stephen was facing. Do we go through problems? Do we go through troubles? Do we have sicknesses and illnesses? Absolutely we do. Will Jesus Christ always intervene the way that we want Him to? As Scripture shows, not likely all the time. But is Jesus Christ absolutely involved? Is He waiting to return? Is He waiting for the Father to say, okay, time is up? The Scripture shows that. He stood up when His servant was being murdered. And Stephen was allowed to see that. And God allowed it to be recorded in Scripture for us. That Jesus who stood at the right hand of the Father will stand up again, and at some point in the future, as pictured by this day, the meaning of this day, He will leave the right hand of the Father and return back to this earth. Do we get it? Do we get it? The Feast of Trumpets, brethren, not only means that announcement, but meaning number five is this. Meaning number five, not just the announcement, not just that that is where He is, not that He'll just stand there. The Feast of Trumpets means the actual return of Jesus Christ. That's what it points to. The actual return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will return in bodily form, spirit form, from heaven to earth. Go with me over to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Says here in Acts chapter 3 verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus. The Father will send Jesus, who was preached to you before, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. God's prophets have spoken about these days. They have looked forward to this day since the beginning of time. It will occur. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to this truth. Don't let it slip out of your fingers. Don't let it slip from your heart. Don't let it slip from your mind. The meaning of this day is powerful. It's going to take place. It's going to take place. Jesus Christ will actually return. Go with me over to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. It's just not some ethereal vision of Christ that will come down and take over this earth. He Himself shall come down and take over the governments of this world. Here in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16 it says, for the Lord Himself. You see the emphasis there? If there's any doubt, any question, it says the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God. The Lord Himself. Go with me over to Hebrews. Chapter 9 and verse 28. Hebrews 9 verse 28. It says, so Christ, here in Hebrews 9, 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation. It's going to happen. This day means that that's going to take place. That's why we're here. That's why we are here. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Scripture makes so clear, so very clear what's going to happen. Acts chapter 1 verse 11, it says, "Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." It's going to take place. This day is for real. It's going to take place. Two more scriptures in this section. Matthew 24 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. This day means the actual return of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4, 24 and verse 30. It says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." This is what Scripture tells us. It's so clear for us. We're so thankful that we see it, that we understand it. Revelations 1 verse 7 tells us that every eye shall see him. And Revelation 22 and verse 20 says, "He who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly." Surely I am coming quickly. Let's go over, just read that with our eyes. Go with me to Revelation 22 and verse 20. This is the end of the book. There's any doubt, any question as to whether or not Jesus Christ will return? Any doubt, any question that we need to make sure we have our lives in order? Any doubt, any question as to the meaning of this day that Jesus Christ will return? He makes this point right here at the end of the book. He says, and he who testifies of these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." It's going to happen. It's going to happen. With or without us, it's going to happen. Jesus Christ called us because he wants to return here with us. With us. Meaning number six. Meaning number six. The Feast of Trumpets means the first resurrection will take place on this day. The first resurrection will take place on this day. Go with me over to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says here in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." He will bring with them. How will he bring them with him? That's a good question. The world creates all sorts of stories, all sorts of imaginings as to how this will occur. What Scripture tells us how it's going to occur right here. Verse 15, it says, For as we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. That's how it's going to take place. That's how it's going to happen. God has called us. God has opened the minds of us, provided us with this wonderful understanding. Because this day and its meaning also encompasses the fact that when Jesus Christ returns, he wants us with him, his saints with him. When that trumpet blows announcing the return of Jesus Christ, he shall call his saints from the grave, or those who are alive, to descend with him, resurrected, meet Christ in the air, and will descend with him to this earth. John chapter 14 and verse 2. John chapter 14 and verse 2. Such meaning in this day. The Feast of Trumpet means that this first resurrection will take place on this day. Here in John chapter 14 and verse 2 it says, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I read this earlier. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. This is wonderful understanding that we have. Because if the saints have already died and are somehow with Jesus Christ in heaven, then what is Jesus Christ talking about here? There's no reason to receive you to himself. He receives us to himself as he descends. He resurrects us on this day to be received with him to himself. That where I am, where is he coming? He's coming back to this earth. Where I am, you may be also. That's where he was when he was speaking. That word there in your Bible is in italics. Just cross it out. Matthew 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with the angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. That's when the reward takes place, when he comes. Are we thankful that we understand the truth of God, the power of this day, the meaning of this day? And then the powerful scripture that talks about the first resurrection as part of the meaning of this day, found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. So much here in this entire chapter. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. They're not already in heaven. We understand that. We need to reinforce that understanding. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What a day! What a day! How is death swallowed up? Because on this day, those who are dead in Christ, or those who are alive in Christ, shall be resurrected. Swallowed up. Death will have no more impact on the saints of God resurrected in the future on this day. Swallowed up. All the pains, all the sorrows, all the suffering swallowed up on this day. Tremendous meaning on this day. Tremendous meaning on this Feast of Trumpets. Point number seven. Meaning number seven. The Feast of Trumpets means the end of human rule and the establishment of God's wonderful kingdom of God on earth. The Feast of Trumpets means the end of human rule and the establishment of God's wonderful kingdom of God on earth. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 21. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 21. God is so merciful. He is so absolutely kind. You see, you know, he could say, you know, those who made it, those who were obedient to me throughout their life, those of my saints who are dead, those of my saints who are alive, I'm going to resurrect them, and I'm going to descend to this earth, and everybody else, too bad. Everybody else, too bad. But God says, no, I want everyone to have an opportunity to partake in my kingdom. And this day announces the start of that great involvement, that wonderful involvement. Here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, it says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. You see, the world, as we heard in the sermonette, does not know the way to peace. They don't have a clue to the way to peace. They don't understand the way to peace. Verse 27 says, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. God is about to insert himself. Jesus Christ is about to insert himself along with saints, along with angels, into the affairs of mankind. Into the affairs of mankind. It is very, very sad what we see happening on the world scene in Syria. But that's just a small snippet of what has taken place since the days of Adam and Eve. We are proven over and over and over and over and over again that we do not know how to rule ourselves. Even when we make our own rules, we don't know how to enforce our own rules or whether those rules that were made should be enforced. And we can see today like never before that is a global problem of ignorance. It doesn't matter whose side you take. The only hope for mankind comes through this day, through the love of God the Father, that He will step in to the affairs of this world. We know that times are going to get worse, not better. Whether the Syria incident will be what ignites the next world war, we don't know. It will be something in the future. Whether our young men and women will be called to join the armed forces, we don't know. We don't know. But for sure, human rule has to end. Human rule has to end. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. It says here, Revelation 11 verse 15, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.'" That's going to take place. It has to take place. How many more genocides will have to take place before we realize Christ's return? Before we pray more fervently, "Send your kingdom." Seeing those little bodies laid up in row after row, column after column, should cause our hearts and our minds to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Don't allow our insensitivities because of Hollywood to look at atrocities like that and not have our hearts yearn for Christ's return. We see so much today, whether created in Hollywood or happening on the world scene, where we can look at that and we can pass by this television and say, "Oh, it's so sad," and not make that connection that those are human lives, that Christ has to return. It will reach the shores of America. The meaning of this day means the end of human rule and government. Zechariah 14 and Revelation 19 recounts that final battle when the evil end time beasts and other world leaders fight against the returning Christ. Remember, one of the meanings of this day is an alarm of war. When Christ returns on this day, mankind is not going to sit back and just accept what's happening. And you think that there will be any weapon of mass destruction at that time that won't be unleashed. If they built it, they will use it. They will use it. It's one thing that Mr. Armstrong made clear many, many years ago. We have a proclivity, we build it, we're going to use it. And there will be used at that particular time. Go with me over to Zechariah 14 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 14. Verse 9. You see, Jesus Christ has to take over the rule in this world. We see it so prevalent today in the mayhem in the Middle East. You see, there's disunity at the Security Council level, man's government. There's disunity in the United Nations, man's government. There's disunity in Britain, there's disunity in the United States, there's disunity in Russia, there's disunity, you name it. The world is incapable of getting on the same page until Jesus Christ returns. When he returns, they're all going to be on the same page and going to link arms and fight against the returning Jesus Christ. But they will prove no match for the powerful Messiah. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4 says here, "And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives." Any doubt as to where Jesus Christ is returning to? He's coming back. Saints resurrected, join him. It says right here, his feet will come down and touch at the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall be moved towards the north, half towards the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley. For the mountain valley shall reach Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come. And all the saints with you, capital Y. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. No lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord. Don't try to sit down and figure out when it's going to come. Look at the signs and get yourself ready. Just be ready. Neither day nor night, but evening time shall it happen, that it will be light. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea, half of them towards the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And that day it shall be, the Lord is one. And his name won. It's going to occur. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. We don't want to become lukewarm in our thoughts about what's happening on the world scene. We want to stay fired up about Christ's return, about the meaning of this day, about this real day that shall occur. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation chapter 19, and verse 11. Jesus Christ will intervene into human rule. That's the meaning of this day. He will establish the wonderful, wonderful kingdom of God on this earth. Revelation 19, verse 11, it says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. and the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Are you ready for that? Are you preparing for that? Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with the rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress, the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What will the world do? Has on his robe, you have any doubt as to who I am? Look at my robe. You have any doubt as who I am? Look at my thighs. King of Kings. I'm Lord of Lords. My saints are with me. They're clothed in white. They've been made ready. The time has come. What a meaning of this day. Last point I want to bring out. Point number 8. Last meaning. The Feast of Trumpets means the time of a great marriage feast between Christ and the church. That marriage feast will not take place until that day takes place. We'll be able to look forward to that time. Go with me over to Revelation, right here, 19 and verse 6. 19 and verse 6. It says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Then he said to me, write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true sayings of God. Write down that these are true sayings. Write it for those who are going to read this in the future, so that there is no doubt that these are true sayings. It's going to take place. All these things that have been written. He said, And I fell on my feet to worship him. And he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. This is an angel. This is an angel who recognized, looked forward to, embraced the Feast of Trumpets taking place. An angel. You see, an angel looked at John at this time and said, Look, don't fall down and worship me. Because that angel in its thoughts was already realizing that this day was going to take place. And we know what Scripture says, that in the future we will rule over angels. And that the only one that we should be bowing down and worshiping is God, not angels. Not angels. He made that clear to John. He said, See, you not do that, for I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Are we thankful for the prophecy? Are we thankful for the understanding of this day? That real Jesus Christ that we pray to his Father, that real Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, that he will return. He will return. There is so much more to this day. It could speak on for days. This day is filled and overflowing with meaning and significance. In the life of the saints of God, it should be significant in every one of our lives, as well as in the future, significant to the lives of all mankind. They don't know it yet, but this day is significant for every one of them. We only hit the highlights today, reviewing these eight meanings and significant events of the Feast of Trumpets. Brethren, should cause us to pray more desperately, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we see what's happening on the news, it should make us pray earnestly, thy kingdom come. Allow it to reach your heart. Allow it to reach your mind. Allow it to bend your knees. Allow it to draw you to Scripture. As we see these days, this time approaching, God's intervention into the affairs of man is what this day proclaims. That is what this day will assure, so that at the end of God's plan of salvation, Jesus Christ, along with the resurrected saints, will have established the kingdom of God on this earth. And in the end, the prophecy of Habakkuk 2, verse 14, will be fulfilled. Go with me over this final scripture here in Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk 2, and verse 14. This is what we look forward to. This is what this day initiates. Are we getting ready? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we on our knees? Are we studying God's word? Because this is what at the end will be the result. It says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The knowledge, not just of the Lord, but the knowledge of his glory, the knowledge of his power, the knowledge of his mercy, the knowledge of his faithfulness. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. If you've never seen that application, as you get on an iPad called Google Earth, you can turn the entire earth to a position where all you see is blue. Blue. Can you imagine this knowledge, this understanding, as the waters cover the earth? The intervention begins with this day, brethren. Begins with this day. So may God speed this day. May he speed this Feast of Trumpets.